Arizona is, of course, the Grand Canyon State, and the National Park is considered a crown jewel of the system. But the park and the canyon itself are facing challenges. Writer Kevin Fidarko and photographer and filmmaker Pete McBride will be speaking about some of them tonight at the Mesa Art Center as part of the National Geographic Live Series. Their presentation is called Between River and Rim, Hiking the Grand Canyon, and they did just that, hike the whole thing. They're with me to talk about their experience and what they learned. And Pete, first off, what prompted you guys to do this?
I'd actually done a project on the length of the Colorado River, and Kevin had actually done a project on the Grand Canyon, and I think we were both done with that area of our work. But I came to do a talk at the Grand Canyon, the South Rim, and everyone was talking about how there's a lot of challenges the place is facing. And so I went and knocked on his door and wanted to see if he'd want to join me on an unusual project.
Kevin, as Pete said, you both had been in that area quite a bit. Were you looking for something different on this particular visit?
I think in some ways we were. We were both very familiar with the world of the Grand Canyon, but from the perspective of the Colorado River. And I think at the heart of Pete's idea was the notion that the river itself is controlled by two enormous dams. It's largely a system of plumbing that sustains the Southwest. And if you want to really experience the essence of the wilderness inside of Grand Canyon National Park, what you have to do is leave the edges of the river and move into this very complex and very brutal world between the river and the rims. And that was the center and the focus of our walk through the canyon.
What did you guys find when you were doing that? Because I would imagine that some of these areas are not super well visited.
They're not. Over 70% of it, there's no trail. What we first found is that the canyon respects nobody. It doesn't matter how much experience you've had. This place beats you down. There's a reason it instills humility. So it's actually much harder than I anticipated on probably like a 10x scale.
Really?
Just figuring your way through it, finding how to get to water, keep moving through these lateral layers of rock. But we also found some remarkable beauty, some amazing, amazing archaeology, spectacular wildlife. And I think for both of us, one of the richest discoveries was the level of silence that is hard to describe until you've experienced it.
It's interesting because you hear a lot that people will go to a place like the Grand Canyon to kind of get away. You know, national parks are often seen as a place to get outside, get away, leave your cell phone behind. But even at the Grand Canyon, at least in the touristy areas, it's not all that quiet. You really got silence. Like, it must have been almost deafening.
It was so silent at times that my microphones were not working properly because they're calibrated to a noisier world, to a noisier silence. So it was hard to believe. And yes, our parks are facing a lot of visitation and there's places that they seem crowded, but it doesn't take much effort. You don't have to hike 800 miles through Grand Canyon to experience this. You can discover it in a variety of ways.
Kevin, what do you think you took away from having done this hike as far as helping you understand some of the challenges that the Grand Canyon is facing?
I think what the hike enabled us to do was, in a way, to kind of take an inventory of the treasures that are contained within the crown jewel of our national park system and to get a sense of what places look like and how they will be impacted by developments that now hang over the Grand Canyon, loom over the canyon, and threaten, I think, to damage at a rather profound level the integrity of the landscape itself. I think it's probably fair to say that Pete and I were both haunted as we walked through the canyon by a sense that we were experiencing these places not only for the first, but perhaps for the last time as well, right? Because I think if some of these projects come in, it will probably be impossible for us ever to return to them. I think for me, at least, it will be necessary for me to hold those places in my mind and remember them as I saw them at the time rather than what they may become.
You think some of the proposed projects pose that big of a problem, that big of a challenge to the canyon?
They absolutely do. It's no overstatement to say that Grand Canyon National Park is literally ringed by, from every cardinal point of the compass, by developments that will change it in ways that will be enormously impactful and negative. And that what you are able to see and what you were able to experience today may not be the case in the future. And what that really goes to is the question of whether or not we may be in danger of breaking the covenant that we have as a nation to take these places within our national park system, Grand Canyon being one, places to which we have made the commitment collectively to preserve and protect and pass along intact to future generations of Americans. And that may no longer be the case with Grand Canyon.
Pete, which of the proposals are most problematic to you? Which are the ones that you're most concerned about?
I think there's a host of them that collectively are creating a situation of a death by a thousand cuts scenario. There's not one project, like historically there was a dam, two dams proposed inside Grand Canyon which people could rally around. Right now there's we identify four. The main one is the Grand Escalade, which is a tramway that would extend on the Navajo land, bring up to 10,000 people a day down to the confluence, which is believed to be a very sacred area by many native tribes in the area. It's dividing the Navajo Nation over it. It's recently been set back by some recent votes, but it's still on the table. I think that is an example of how this could change, but currently there is a development on the west, which has come up recently. Helicopter air tours have grown exponentially, and I'm not against flying or air tours. It's just the rate of growth, the commercial tourism that's happened. There's now up to 400 flights a day, and the collective noise and the economic engine that is there is reverberating east up through the canyon, and the other tribes are saying, well, we want a piece of that too. And if everyone comes to the table at that scale, that silence, the night sky, the tranquility, it's all going to vanish.
Well, how do you balance that, though, between trying to preserve what's there and the beauty and the silence that is there now, but also allowing tribes especially to try to, you know, increase their economic development and make things a little bit better for their people?
The balance is the question. That's the huge challenge, of course. We all want to see this place, and how we don't love it to death is the big question. I think at the heart of it is that there's a lot of different interest groups around the canyon, and we need to create a larger conversation. There are a lot of silos, including the native tribes, the 11 native tribes that surround the park. And we need conversations with the national park, all the tribes, all the constituencies that have an interest in this place, and work together on this. Because at the end of the day, yes, it's a national park, and people think this is the most protected piece of landscape in the world, but it's not. It's fragile, and it's we need to have a serious conversation on how this moves forward so we don't willy-nilly change this place.
All right. Pete, Kevin, thanks a lot for coming in, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a bunch.
Photographer and filmmaker Pete McBride and writer Kevin Fedarko will be speaking tonight at the Mesa Art Center as part of the National Geographic Live series. Their presentation is called Between River and Rim: Hiking the Grand Canyon.